Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on this Wednesday afternoon. Beautiful day today. It's really cold out. And time to talk a little wrestling. Today, we are in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Kevin Herr has a series of questions, but they all deal with the recruiting of his kid.
Which hasn't begun yet, I might add. So there's still ample time.
Have you asked yourself yet why the process hasn't started?
No, I'm just, you know, thinking, you know, taking advantage of an opportunity to promote, you know, to promote the boy. And you know what? If wrestling, there's always track season that's starting soon. Maybe there's an athletic chance there. That didn't come out right.
Spent some time, by the way, with Beth Sullivan last night. They dedicated last night the Kevin Dare Memorial Lounge. Kevin Dare is the young man pole vaulting at the Big Ten Championships who had a missed vault for Penn State and died on the missed vault. His parents over the last 12 years this week, parents have spent the entire time, they put together the Kevin Dare Foundation, and the parents have spent the entire time garnering money and dispensing of it. A lot of it has gone to pole vault safety. They've been able to garner over the 12 years of the foundation $1.5 million. Well, part of the proceeds of that went to, for this Kevin Dare Memorial Lounge for the track and field athletes at the Ashenfelter Indoor Track. Really nice. Well done. You know, not over the top, just very simple, but very, very nice. And after the talk show last night at Damon's on the network, I went straight to that and was there last night with Athletic Director Dave Joyner, Assistant Athletic Director Jan Bortner, Tom Venerino, who does a lot of work with them at the track and field complex. Ed Russell, who's now the head of the Dare Foundation, the Dare family, several of the track and field athletes, coaching staff, so forth, and dedicated that last night. And Eric Dare, who played on the Penn State football team, was a valuable member of the Penn State football team in the 2007-2008 teams. Kevin's brother there with his beautiful young family there last night. And it was really a well-done, beautiful ceremony. And for Kevin, too, a little personal, the kind of guy he was, is that on the State I football team in 99, the starting wide receivers were Kevin and my son Mike. Well, Mike, They were running some stuff. It was late in the game. And he was scheduled to come out, but somebody missed an assignment, and they just told Mike, look, just stay out there one more play. And on that one play, they got piled up, and my son Mike broke his femur. And it was Kevin Dare who ran out and held Mike's head while, you know, telling him everything was going to be okay while the medical staff came out and got to Mike. And then Dr. Sebastianelli, I mean, Mike's doing tremendously well today. He works at Presbyterian Hospital in Pittsburgh as an RN now. So, I mean, he's doing well. But that's the kind of guy Kevin Dare was. I mean, that's, you know, so known him, had known Kevin for a long time. Awesome guy. Tragedy. I mean, and that's the definition of tragedy. Lost his life. They've tried to take that tragedy and do something good, have something good come out of it, and that's why the Dare Foundation was formed. And so good, you know, So they've been able to do some good, including that lounge, but they've also done a lot of other things with the Dare Foundation across the state. So that was last night. Jeff Byers is the play-by-play voice of Penn State Wrestling. I'm sure you expected, Jeff, that David Taylor, in all likelihood, would pin his Clarion opponent. I don't think 11 seconds, though, was really on your mind, was it?
No, and the funny thing about it, Chuck York, who does the PA, made an announcement, actually, and Pat Donga, the sports information contact for Penn State Wrestling, came over and asked Chuck to make the announcement about a minute before Taylor was going to take the mat. They announced to the Rec Hall crowd, you know, hey, David's about a minute away. You might want to get back to your seat. hopefully people heeded that call because, that was a blink of an eye type of performance.
It was. But it's also in a blink of an eye that his career is now into the home stretch. You've watched this team. Dual meets are different than tournaments. So we know this is obviously an outstanding dual meet team. Now we get to this stage where they've won three straight. In your opinion, are they a good tournament team?
Yeah, I think they're an even better tournament team for a couple of reasons. Number one is they have a couple of outstanding individuals who not only win but get bonus points. And, we saw at the national tournament last year and the Big Ten 3 years ago just how crucial those bonus points are. Penn State doesn't win the bonus point battle in either of those seasons. We're talking about Iowa's Big Ten champions 3 years ago, and we're talking about Oklahoma State as the national champions last season. And, you know, David Taylor and Ed Ruth were a big part of that. There are obviously some other guys that have picked up bonus points, but, Taylor has pinned his way to the NCAA finals the last two seasons, and you just don't see somebody do that once, let alone twice in their career. And those are just huge points. I mean, that's two extra points a match to go with the advancement points and obviously the placing points that Taylor gets. And even though he lost in the finals last year, David was the second highest scoring wrestler behind Ed Ruth at the national tournament, and that's just again speaks volumes about how those guys perform. And the other part of it is it goes back to the coaching staff, Steve. They train with the idea that they want these guys to peak, and everybody does, but they really have a formula that obviously works, and I think Penn State's kids, they'll all tell you that they feel they're most rested and their strongest come tournament time, and it's a formula that's obviously worked very well the last three seasons, and I think it sets up very well for a great run again this year, both at Big Tens and at Nationals.
Right. It certainly does. Ed Ruth, was the loss a wake-up call?
You know, I guess it could be, because Ed, I think, would be the first to tell you that he does get a little bored with the easy wins. I mean, he likes being challenged. He craves the opportunity to face somebody highly regarded, and that's why I really think he loves practice as much, if not more, than competing, because he gets to wrestle Kale Sanderson, he gets to wrestle Jake Farter, he gets to wrestle Quentin Wright and David Taylor and Matt Brown in the room, and I think those are some of his best tests, I'll tell you, throughout his collegiate career. So, it may have been a little bit of a wake-up call just in terms of making sure that he was ready to go every match and brought that, same passion to every match. But, I don't know that win or lose that match that Ed was going to change much in terms of his preparation. He's a kid that just, he brings it. When you talk about bringing it every day, he does that. And he wrestles hard every day in the room. He works on specific things each day he's in there. And it may have been a little bit of a wake-up call mentally. Again, I think physically he's thought about things the exact same way he would have, whether he had that loss on his record or not.
What are the weight classes that are concerned to you even after watching 3 months of wrestling?
Well, you know, 141 in every way right now for Penn State are obviously concerns because of Jimmy Lawson's knee injury. And, you know, he's been looking good in the room this past week, and it looked like he may have come down on it there when he went out of bounds. And, you know, he let it affect him, and I think Cale was trying to kind of get the message through to him after the match. Listen, you got the escape in the third period when you absolutely had to. You got a takedown when you felt desperate. If you can get it then, you know you could have gotten it at any point, and I think that's kind of the message here. And, you know, they're going to have to watch them throughout the course of the of practice this week. I mean, they've got to make a decision here. They have to announce to the NCAA the 10 kids that they're going to send to the Big Ten tournament. Now, obviously, if there's an injury that occurs, you can make a change to that lineup. But in terms of the seeding process for the NCAA, you know, a kid that comes in then is not going to get that opportunity to be seeded. So they really have to make the determination by the end of this week whether Jimmy Lawson can go and can be effective, even with the knee injury. And if not, obviously John Gingrich will get the call. And I think John is more than capable of doing good things, certainly qualifying for the NCAA tournament at the very least. And I think really can score some significant points for Penn State at the NCAAs. And, you know, 149, Steve, is just one of the toughest situations. I think you said 141. I meant 149. It's one of the toughest situations that Penn State's had here, I think, maybe ever, in terms of trying to decide who to go with. James English won the wrestle-off last week, and he's the sixth-year senior, so part of you says, well, there you go. That's the guy that deserves it. But you know, he's got the chronic back and neck problems, and he has rarely been able to go 3 or 4 days in a row in practice this year without that creeping up. Now, he says he feels as good as he's ever felt. They're doing some specific exercise with him, and he's getting some shots to help lessen the pain and be able to move a little better. So, you know, I think they're leaning English right now, but it's a little bit of a gamble because, again, if English tightens up there after that first day at the Big Ten, you're stuck. I mean, that's no points that you're getting at the NCAA tournament. And obviously, Zach Pipes is giving you everything he's had and then some. And they feel can be an All-American at the NCAA tournament. And obviously, Andrew Alton is just an explosive kid, still working his way back from the shoulder surgery. And, you know, lost an overtime decision in the last meeting with English in the room and actually won the overtime decision over Bites. So, you know, Andrew certainly feels like he is deserving as well. And he probably has more scoring potential with his pin capabilities than the other two, at least early on in the NCAA tournament. So it's a predicament, and again, they're going to have to make a decision by the end of the week. I don't think they honestly know for sure right now what they're doing. I think if, you know, all things equal, I think James English and Jimmy Lawson are the two that that they'd like to have there and that they're leaning toward. But again, it's a matter of whether or not either or both are healthy enough to last through both tournaments and get you the points that that can really be significant here in the team race.
We saw what kind of dual meet team Minnesota is. What kind of tournament team can they be?
I think Minnesota is the one team, Steve. I mean, obviously Iowa, Oklahoma State. I think Oklahoma is a dangerous tournament team. And there are probably some others. I think Cornell's shaping up to be a pretty dangerous tournament team. Missouri as well. If Missouri gets a couple of kids hot, they are a team that can make a run. But as I look at it, I really think Minnesota is the team best positioned tournament-wise to make a run at Penn State. And, you know, I really think for Minnesota, it's going to come down to the Dardanes. I think the Gophers need the Dardanes and Tony Nelson to come up big. You know, they need Tony Nelson to be the type of wrestler he was the last 2 years when he won the national title and not what he was in the Big Ten dual meet season when he lost four times. But, you know, the Dardanes to me are both guys that are capable of being top three, top four guys. And I can see both of them not placing though too, Steve. And that's, you know, that's the thing with Minnesota. I think they're a dangerous team, but they've been a little inconsistent. David Thorne's another one for them that I think he'll be an All-American, but if he can get in to the top three and make a push there, that's certainly going to help Minnesota's cause. But I just like Minnesota's scoring potential. I think Dylan Ness can score huge points for them at 157. Obviously, Scott Schiller, they feel like can win a national title at 97. And, you know, 74 with Storley, they're counting on big points from him. So, you know, as I look at it, I think Minnesota's the biggest threat, although I really do think there are five five to seven teams that are certainly capable of at least making a run at the top three this year.
Going to the Big Tens, and the Big Tens usually is a pretty good indicator of nationals anyway.
Yeah.
What are the three deepest weight classes where, you know, Penn State will be in the thick of it, but because of depth, the result will be really interesting?
Yeah, it's, you know, in terms of overall depth, Kevin Wade is probably as strong in the Big Ten and nationally as any weight out there. I mean, you have a guy, again, Tony Nelson's a two-time national champion, and he's likely going to be seated fifth and could even be seated sixth. You could make a case for him being as low as sixth. At the Big Ten. So that gives you an idea. You got a two-time national champion being seated fifth or sixth. You got a pretty deep weight class there. And, you know, I really think, 149 is going to be a very interesting weight. I don't know that it's as strong in the Big Ten as heavyweight or at the top as 141 and 174. Heavyweight 174, I guess, would be the two, I think, obvious weight classes where there's just a lot of depth. And a lot of quality depth. I mean, guys that are going to be contending for national titles as well as Big Ten titles. You know, I think 197, has three, maybe four guys deep in the Big Ten that can do the same thing. 141, obviously, the anticipated matchup between Rutherford and Stever is going to be worth the price of admission at the Big Ten tournament. But, you know, there's a little bit of a drop off after those two. Certainly some other very good competitors there, but, and, you know, truthfully, a weight like 165, even though David Taylor, stands out a little bit right now, there's some, quality wrestlers there, and I think the Big Ten probably has three or four guys, even there that can All-American. But, you know, heavyweight 174 and 141 would be the three weights I'm, most looking forward to, I guess, at the Big Ten tournament.
When you look at, this, we talked about the weight classes and how it sets up across the board. Who for Penn State, in your opinion, down the stretch wrestled really well and gave you the tip off there? It's the best wrestling you've seen from them all year.
Well, I know some fans are not happy with the overall results here of Jimmy Golobon, but Steve, I'm telling you that the way he has wrestled here this last month and a half of the season, and he's lost, you know, several bouts here, so it's not that he's going in with a red-hot winning streak, but he closed the gap significantly with a couple of the matches that he had in rematches in the final month and a half there of the season. And it's little things we're seeing in the room and on the mat. There's just an attitude right now with Jimmy Golobon, and I think the coach is have him believing that he is about to do something special. And, you know, really for Jimmy, it's just going to be a matter of if he can get that initial takedown, if he can get a first period takedown against really anybody in the country. I think he can stay with anyone in the country, and you know, I think can beat at least anybody other than the top two or three, and I wouldn't even roll him out there. But so I think Jimmy's just a guy that's really close to doing some big things for this program. And Steve, I mean, Nico Megalunas obviously isn't going to sneak up on anybody, but I really think both he and Morgan McIntosh are two guys that down the stretch just have taken it to another level. And, you know, Nico has a tendency to do that when the postseason rolls around, but I think he is as focused and as ready to go as I've ever seen him for the postseason. And Morgan McIntosh, just, he kind of turned the corner here a month ago, even a week or two before he wrestled Schiller, but you know, it's a dominating win out there. I think those two guys are really primed for big, big things here in the postseason.
Jeff, as always, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, Jeff. Jeff Byers, play-by-play voice, Penn State Wrestling. Kevin's take and analysis on the interview momentarily. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Kevin Herr analysis of the interview.
I thought it was a really good interview.
Oh, just not the direction I wanted to go in.
He ain't the best number two in the league for nothing, folks.
Oh, man. Fly ball. Caught.
Caught.
Oh.
That broadcast school in the off season really paid off for you. Our thanks to Tim Nevert, the play-by-play voice of the Pirates, and Jeff Byers, the play-by-play voice of Penn State Wrestling, for joining us. Open phones, final half hour today. We'll talk bracketology tomorrow. Our number, 800-795-9565. 800-795-9565. On the home of Mark Lawrence, News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Well, another big show today. Our thanks to Jeff Byers, play-by-play voice, Penn State Wrestling, and also to Tim Nevert, the play-by-play voice of the Pirates. Both interviews on our podcast on stevejonesshow.com.
And in this half hour, I'll tell you when to call in, not now, but when to call in and be the fifth caller to win tickets to see tomorrow night's Penn State-Ohio State game. We have a pair of tickets to hand out.
Absolutely. Football practice around here. Spring practice is going to begin on St. Patrick's Day on the 17th. And the blue-white game, in case you missed it, Jason Johnson said he has a friend, who's no longer a friend, who claims that he had inside information it was going to be a night game. Kevo and I can tell you it's at 1:30 on the 12th. So whomever had inside information evidently has somebody who, I mean, relying on inside information from the cleanup crew is really not.
Well, but technically somewhere it will be a night game, just not at Beaver Stadium. So, you know, maybe that's what that friend was referring to. For instance, it will be night in the Middle East when the game's played.
do you know what I've discovered over the years with people who please I have some inside information?
What's that?
Now, I always laugh when they tell me that I have some inside information. I'll look at them and go, okay, I was at practice, but go ahead.
Listen, over the years, how many times have I said to you, hey, I just found this out. Yeah, I knew that a while ago. Yeah, I knew that a while ago. Yeah, I knew that a while ago. All right, why do I tell you anything?
You never know. You may say something to me, and I'll go, wow, okay, I didn't know that. Great, thank you. Or the response I get, I usually give you is, oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you.
That's what I was just going to say. That's my favorite one. Oh, yeah, I knew that a week ago. I forgot to tell you about it.
Well, one thing that they're trying to do in college football that has drawn the ire of many is this hurry up idea that they want to give the defense, and there's the rules committee, I believe, is voting on this, I want to say in April. I just can't see it passing where you have to give the defense 11 seconds for personnel.
This is the Saban rule, right?
That's what they affectionately, or not so affectionately, call it.
I mean, well, that's what it is.
Right. One of the things that this deal about hurry up, first of all, I've told you, I do not personally find, and some people will have a completely different opinion than me. It's all about what your personal taste is. I don't find Oregon enjoyable to watch. I just don't. And how many times have I told you that when they get into a tough football game, they don't play tough? It's one of the reasons why these hurry-up teams, I think, have not won big games. Because when they get up against great opponents or really good opponents and they find themselves in a tough game,
mentally they don't know how to react because they've been front running so often.
But I think you have to define hurry up, too, because I hear that used an awful lot with teams that just don't huddle. That, to me, is not a hurry up offense. That's just a no huddle offense that still takes 30 seconds to snap the ball.
Well, that's, and Illinois does that and so forth. But I also think that there are a lot of programs now that are running at three tempos. And the three tempos would be I huddle up, I get to the line of scrimmage, look around, bang, 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 maybe change the play, whatever, snap the ball, you know, and there's no real time frame on it. Then there are those who do exactly what you said. No huddle, but, geez, they're not really snapping the ball till 5 or 6 seconds to go. And the third tempo is, okay, everybody rush back, get to the line of scrimmage, boom, set, let's fire it up and go. Most of the teams that are the hurry up, run back, get set, fire up and go group, their plays already average, the snap is about 13 to 17 seconds in. So in other words, there's usually about 23 to 27 seconds left on the play clock anyway. It's a tempo where if you're watching it the entire time, I don't enjoy running. I mean running. Watching it. But you also notice that these are not the teams winning national championships. They're not winning national championships.
Steve, do you find the team that does that may not have a ton of confidence in its defense, so they feel they have to outscore the opponent?
Oh, that might be part of it, but I also think that you have to balance that with there's a lot more pressure on those defenses. Because I saw that here in 1994 with Penn State football. The offense was so dynamic. But the drives took 2 minutes and 30-some-odd seconds. And believe me, Penn State wasn't running a hurry-up. They just got one big chunk play after another. And the defense found itself on the field longer periods of time. And I think that's where they have the problem. The problem I find with most of those teams, Oregon, Baylor, where there's a fad to it where people get enamored with, wow, look what they did in this game. Look what they did to Texas. But then they get into a tough football game. Okay? Where suddenly there's a little give and take and they're not firing on all cylinders. And they don't win the game. And that brings me to the NCAA basketball tournament. One of the things I look for when I'm looking about the survive and advance teams are who are the teams who are balanced in terms of where they rank offensively and where they rank defensively. They're in the top 50 in both categories. I like them moving forward. And the reason I like them moving forward is because if they get into a tough game, they're good enough defensively to win the game. Doug in Wellsboro joins us. Hi, Doug. Great to hear from you again.
Hi, guys. How are you?
We're doing well. Thank you for asking.
I'm suffering from curling withdrawal, so I decided to call you guys.
Listen, I'm suffering from good curling withdrawal because I was too busy watching the United States curling team, and they did not be successful again this year.
Hey,
one quick note on that. The guy that did the announcing on curling got a CBS basketball NCAA tournament assignment. So you'll be hearing more of him in the next couple weeks. Go ahead, Doug.
Hey, it's no joke. I get into that every couple of years. That is actually pretty cool. The U.S. teams were terrible. I mean, if you watch the Swedish teams, those guys were good, but the U.S. teams were terrible. But that's beside the point.
No, it's not. You're right. They were terrible. I agree. I watched a lot of it, and I feel as though they owe me time in my life now.
The guy who was supposed to be the skip or the best thrower, all he had to do was make a simple throw to win the one match, and he blew it, but whatever.
Good. I'm not the only one that felt that. I'm like, what in the world was that? I'm not a curling genius, but that didn't look right. You have the button wide open.
I know. Hey, something totally different. What was your feeling on the Jim Boeheim thing over the weekend? I haven't been able to hear you. Steve, what did you think of his actions?
I'm sorry, I mentally checked out.
I was going to say, he has to hit the reset for a minute. Hang on.
First of all, Jim Boeheim, what he did, I think, was partially calculated, was waiting for a moment to do it because it was his first trip into Cameron. Way out of line. Personally felt, I mean, in the press conference, he handled it really well, but I also think it was a finable offense as to what he did, because it was, he snapped, went to take off his coat, didn't take off his coat, went out, obviously said something on the court, was right in Tony Green's face. He handled the press conference part really well, but I think it was not a suspendable, but I think a finable offense. That's just my opinion. If I'm not the commissioner, I'm not John Swafford, the commissioner of the ACC, but that's how I felt about what he did. Now, as for the call itself, I personally thought it was better as a no call, especially under the new rules this year, but that's neither here nor there. It is a pure judgment call. Tony Green was right there in the baseline. He felt that it was a charge, and so he called it that way.
Have you ever met Boeheim?
Yes.
I think the guy's really,
barrel of laughs. Barrel of laughs. Life of the party. You'd love him. No.
I think the guy's a fraud. I mean, yeah. After what he said after Joe, like, I'm no Joe Paterno. I don't hide stuff. All that baloney he came out with.
I know.
The only reason he's ever done basically anything is because of his players. And Sherman Douglas, Pearl Washington, Psych Lee, those guys. I mean, you're going to build your reputation on that stuff. So the media gives him a pass. Vital gives him a pass. Oh, it was a shame to throw him out, all that stuff. But, I mean, didn't Park Hill try to set up a home-and-home with him or two-for-one with him just to fill the building? Or was it, you know, Penn State when it was Harder or somebody? And Boeheim said, no, I'll play SUNY.
Right. No, that's exactly right. They tried to get a home-and-home. He's always taken an opportunity when presented to him to take a swipe at Penn State, whether it's recruiting, what he said about Joe, whatever. As time goes, I'm not sure he'll regret what he said about Joe. He should.
Yeah, I agree. That's, I think the guy's a total fraud, but... well, I got to get going, so I got to go. I'm off to my curling tournament, so it was great talking to you guys today.
Good, really enjoy it. Should be fabulous.
Are you using the titanium broom, or?
Hey, those brooms have the little things on the end now, the digital things on there, so I'm all set up.
I'm telling you, it's a sport that even I can do and make the Olympics.
Come on, Steve, you got to get with the program.
Doug, I'm trying to get myself emotionally motivated as you speak. I mean, I'm trying. I just, you know, I'm not quite close to a breakthrough yet, but I'm further along than 10 minutes ago.
Just remember, Steve, everybody gets a turn to throw the stone. It's not just the skip.
That's okay. If you're at the other end, I'll take a shot.
All right. Talk to you guys later.
Take care. Yeah.
Thanks, Doug. Oh, you don't throw them?
No, you slide them. They do call it throwing the stone, though, but you actually slide it. It does not lose contact with the ice once it's in motion. And there is a style to it. There's like a swing to it.
You know what that sport's missing?
I can only imagine. But what are you thinking?
Beer at each end. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
And I'll tell you what, call right now, fifth caller at 800-795-9565, 800-795-9565. We'll send you not to curling, but to Penn State basketball tomorrow night.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
I'm aiming for the stick when she takes a pick. She's headed for the side. Skip falls down, looks like a clown. We'll be giving him a ride. Now shut up, don't talk, you just burnt that rock. Get the next one on the button. If you throw her a light, sweep with all your might, you look just like Jeff Stoughton.
Canadian curling songs. Gotta love them.
Okay, well, I enjoyed talking sports today. Let's see. Yeah, the Boeheim thing, I thought that he was waiting for a moment to blow up. He did. Made the most of it. He was a little too calm and too jovial afterward. Most coaches would still need time to cool down, which tells me that, you know, I think part of that was calculated on his part.
Semi-orchestrated, yeah.
Yeah. He also cost his team the game. In the end, you tell your players to keep their poise and so forth. If a player had done that, he would have suspended that player. Okay? If a player had done that, he would have suspended that player.
Absolutely.
Brian Longacre from Sunbury is our winner, going to the Penn State basketball game tomorrow night with Ohio State at the Jordan Center at 7. Brian, have a great time. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it very, very much. Very much. With the term, we're going to talk tomorrow about bracketology. I was going to have a member of the Harlem Globetrotters on the show.
Not the guys that are on The Amazing Race, is it?
If you want, we can get Big Easy if you want. That'd be great.
Big Easy's a riot.
Yeah.
You know, they were one of the most popular duos on that CBS television series, and they're back now.
They're already natural entertainers to begin with because of the Globetrotter experience. Man, it comes through. They're very easy in front of the camera. They get it. They know how to play to a crowd. That's really, really, you know. And I think they're back, if I believe, they're back on Amazing Race All-Stars.
Yes, Amazing Race All-Stars, which started Sunday night.
So, which, yeah, that was the first episode. So they're back for that. I think it's their third time through on the show.
You and I need to do Amazing Race. That would be great. Maybe that's what we could do in the off season.
Let's talk about the curling thing. Maybe we can try that.
I have a better shot of getting you to curl. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, I mean, you know, sure. You know, yeah. Go over to Brewer's Outlet and we can make a day of it. All right. we were just talking about the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament, May 7th, which works out fine because I have a speaking engagement right in Ohio on the 8th, so perfect.
Yeah, hopefully by that time the snow will have melted and I'll actually have an opportunity to pull out the clubs.
You were giving me an ominous feel for this weekend.
Oh, no. I'm being sarcastic. Listen, the way this winter's gone, I'm not looking for snow to be off the ground till well after spring starts. And it is not looking good for this weekend, according to AccuWeather.com.
Cold with a chance of snow on Sunday. Monday, cold with snow. All right, well, let's see here. Now let's go to the premium site. I don't mess around with the regular stuff.
Oh, well, hold on while we all wait for you to get to the premium site.
Well, excuse me. You're the one that asked me, hey, what is a premium say? You're the one that buckles an ass. Oh, yeah, premium, what does it say?
Okay, Captain Premium.
Ooh,
I got Heather's. We got Heather's air in the morning on WKOK Sunrise. I don't need no premium.
They're doing this in feet. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. All right. But, yeah, bracketology tomorrow. We're going to talk about it. What bothers me is people saying, you know, Wichita State now needs to win out to be a number one seed. Wichita State, if they lose in their conference tournament, they're still a number one seed. A team on the go right now, right? If you're in a if we're doing stocks, a buying mood, St. Joe's, 19 wins, blew out Dayton last night, impressed, fluid, beautiful basketball. St. Joe's, a team on the move, Atlantic 10. If you're in the buying mood, there's one to buy. Dick and Milton. Hi, Dick.
30 seconds. There's a lot of teams in sports that only need a coach once in a while. Syracuse has Boeheim, and when they need him in a big game, he doesn't coach. I mean, a lot of times they would win. They would. He just wins because of the kids he puts on the floor. That's just one team that does that. But there's a lot of times you could play without a coach, but he never wins the big game, and that's the way he coaches. That's all I'm willing to say. Thanks.
Well said, Deck. A great 30 seconds. Thanks, buddy.
Now that is good use of your time, right there.
I mean, he came in prepped and ready. And not only that, when he said 30 seconds, it was 29.6. Well done. Well done. You know, you want to warm up to the guy? You can't. You just can't. And if you've ever been in the same room with him, you just can't.
Now, you know what? You made a point that I didn't really think about a few minutes ago, that in that post-game press conference, which was not long after he had been ejected, he was rather amused by the whole thing. Sure, if I were a Syracuse fan, I would be ticked off a little bit about that. I'm like, you just went ballistic, almost Bobby Knight ballistic.
Right.
And now you think it's funny?
Would they have won the game if he hadn't? We don't know.
They would have had a better shot.
Would they have had a better shot? Yes. He cost his team a shot at it by his actions.
On a 50-50 call at best, to be quite honest.
No, I'd have gotten no call. I think the officials have done really struggled this year, really understanding the rules. I think they've really struggled with it. I think the block charge thing, it's reverted back to last year. It wasn't supposed to revert back to last year. I've seen dirtier post play in the last month and a half than I have in years. Because that's the part they're not cleaning up, because they don't want the games to be 2.5 hours.